Blog Talk Radio.
It's Rich Wilson. Welcome to Fantasy Baseball Live. We're here every Sunday evening talking the game of baseball, talking the game of fantasy baseball, talking whatever the heck we want to talk about. We've got a great show planned for you this evening, but it's a short show. Actually, not a lot of stuff to talk about. The season, I can't believe it. 1 week left in the season, and then it's over. Remarkable. We're going to bring Tim on in a couple of minutes. We're going to see how his labor team is doing. I think he was tired for first last week, but I think he's had a bit of a move, so we're going to find out about that. We're going to talk about 9 or 10 players that have been hot over the last week or so. I'm going to ask Tim if these guys are pickups or not. And then we're going to do 2 start pitchers, and then we are out of here. That's what we've got planned, plus I'm sure there will be other stuff that comes up. Guys, there's a couple of things you want to know. First of all, if you want to get a hold of us, you can get Tim on Facebook, Timothy LMC. That would be Tim McLeod, MCLEOD. Just go out to Facebook, put that in, become his friend. He's got lots and lots of information to share with you. If you want to follow me on Twitter, at Rich Wilson, P361, at Rich Wilson, P361, please do that, and I will try to respond to all your questions. They've been late so far over the recent few weeks, and I get it. People are wrapping up. If you want to support the show, you can do that a couple of different ways. You can go out to iTunes and rate and review, as a positive rating is always a good thing for Tim and I. And if you want to support our show financially, you don't have to give us money. All you have to do is go to our site. You click on the sponsors on the right-hand side, prospect361.com, amazon.com, StubHub. All the football games that are out there, you want to get a football game, you simply go, you click StubHub on from our site. We get a little commission off of that. Of course, there's MLB Shops and Steiner Sports. All of those fine sponsors are out there. And again, click on them, and Tim and I get a little bit of advertising revenue from that. Without further ado, let's bring on the great Tim McLeod. Tim, where are you this evening?
This evening, I am live from my brother Terry's garage, which, courtesy of his Tiger torch, is actually rather warm, Rich.
So what is a garage? What do you say, garage? What do you call it, garage? I call it garage. What do you call it?
You got me confused. Garage.
Garage, okay. It's the same thing, right?
It's the same thing, except this one's got a nice little Tiger torch, which keeps me nice and warm, eh?
So a Tiger torch, is that like a bamboo thing with a flame coming out of it?
Yeah, pretty much. It's, a tube that's powered by propane, and it's got a fan in it, and it shoots flames out the end and keeps you warm.
Now, that's in his garage, whatever, however you call it, a garage. Isn't that a fire hazard, Tim? I don't mean to, be the bearer of bad news, but shouldn't that be outside of his garage?
Well, if it was outside of the garage, it wouldn't be keeping me warm, Rich. Like, come on.
Okay. I know. It feels like an open flame in a garage, Tim. I don't know anything. I'm thinking that's a bad idea. Just saying.
It's a concrete floor, okay? And
okay,
it's not like it's wrapped in a blanket. There's some airspace around it. A couple pot tubes. I'm just checking out my brother's lawnmower. It looks empty. There's nothing flammable around it. So I
nothing like the lawnmower full of gas. Okay, outstanding.
Let me see here. As I have my smoker and lean over, no, it looks like the gas tank's empty, Rich. We're good.
Oh, okay, Argo, that's good. So, Tim, does he live anywhere near the UP, Saint-Sulerie, or however you say that? Or what's the other place? What's the other place that you go? Oh, the Big Lake. Is he anywhere near those places that you've been to?
North Bay, yes. He's 3.5 hours north of Toronto, Rich, on the lake. And, we've had an interesting few days because as of this afternoon at noon, we actually went 46 hours without power here.
Oh, my goodness.
We had one heck of a storm. As a matter of fact, just to the east of us here in Ottawa, about 3 hours. They had an F2 and an F3, both touchdown. I don't believe there were any fatalities, but my sister happened to be, her place happened to be in the path, and her house is fine, but her garage is now located in a set of trees just to the east of the property, apparently.
Now, I'm assuming the F2, I think those are tornadoes, right? And they go up to F5.
Yeah.
So those were severe tornadoes, not the worst, but severe tornadoes. If it can destroy somebody's garage, that's not good.
Yeah, there was a lot of housing damage. Some houses totally moved, destroyed.
Oh, my gosh.
Power down. It was just an ugly mess. We had winds coming through here at a good 50 miles an hour. And like I said, we were without power for almost 2 days. It was a mess of a storm, Rich. And thankfully, hopefully nobody got hurt. I know nobody in this area did, but I got to bond with my cell phone for a day and a half, almost 2 days, because that was the only thing I had.
So you were able to at least get that powered up, I'm assuming via the car or something like that. So you were able to check your scores, because Timmy, I went out to Labor this week, and I know you were struggling over the last 2 weeks. All of a sudden, I'm looking, and you got a huge lead going into the last 7 days.
Night, bro. Yeah, sorry, you're saying good night to my brother. Yeah, no,
as soon as we start taking baseball, he's done, right? I mean, we can talk nonsense. I'm free to talk nonsense for the next half an hour, Timmy. I'm very good at that.
He's gone. He's out of here. No, yeah,
he's out of here.
It was one of those weeks, Rich, where some of my guys started hitting some home runs. Raul Mondesi Jr., I'm still calling him Raul. I don't care if he changed his name. He's been like a miracle worker for my team and the most valuable. He's been stealing bases. And my pitchers have been getting wins. And I was close in a lot of categories. And I've now moved to the other side. Rather than being light a little bit, now I'm over a little bit, but it's a long way from being done because I can lose those points just about as quick as I gained them. But I am happy that it was a really good week. Yes, it was.
Yeah, it's remarkable to me. I'm looking at your team, and for granted, Tim does have Mike Trout on the team because he picked number one overall. But if you think that, you know, you got to have a team of all-stars, you don't. Tim's got Nick Dudley, Danny Jansen, Tyler White, Gleyber Torres, probably runner-up to the Rookie of the Year, Alberto Mondesi, Raul Mondesi Jr., Max Muncy, Jeff McNeil, Josh Bell. I mean, these are the guys that are bringing you a championship, Timmy. I mean, many of these not even considered rosterable back in March.
Yeah, I went through a horrible spate of injuries and, you know, losing Trout, I lost. Well, my pitching, the key to my pitching was Trevor Bauer, Carlos Martinez, Steven Strasburg, and who was my fourth? My number five was actually, my five and six starting pitchers were
Michaelis.
Walker Buehler and Michaelis, yeah.
And Eduardo Rodriguez. So, I mean, so guys that you picked up who have contributed, Timmy, are Shane Bieber, Brad Keller, Jose Leclerc, Joey Lucchese from San Diego, and Ryan Yarbrough. I mean, these are the guys, Timmy, that are bringing you a championship. It is remarkable.
Well, you know, Max Muncy and Mondesi definitely have to be my two of my big ads. But you know, when I look at going back, we drafted in the last week of February, Rich, and two guys that I picked up in that original draft were Walker Buehler for one, and Gleyber Torres was another, and Michaelis I drafted I think in the 17th, 18th round. So those late round picks, they can turn into gold, and in this case, they have.
Yeah, they really have. So it's remarkable to me. I'm just looking at this team, and you didn't throw Edwin Diaz this week.
Well, no, I looked at the matchups, and I figured with Texas at home for six and Seattle on the road, I only wanted to go with one closer, and So I went with Leclerc this week. Next week I'm going to go with both because I want and hope for some strikeouts from both. And I'm going to take Mr. Bieber, I think, and sit him on my bench for this week. But one guy I am bringing up, and I think it's important for our listeners, is I'm bringing up Devers in Boston. They've clinched, and they're going to give him playing time down the stretch. And I think it's very, very important this last week to realize that teams that have clinched, there's going to be a lot of players resting. There's going to be a lot of players that normally wouldn't see at-bats that are going to see at-bats. And I think it's very important when you set your lineups that you take that into consideration this week because it's always a dog's breakfast, isn't it, Rich?
Hey, I don't know what that means, Timmy. So tell me what the dog's breakfast means. I've never heard that.
A mess. How's that?
Okay. Because beans as breakfast is quite delicious, if I might add. So just saying, Timmy. Use a little bit of chicken in there, a little bit of rice. I mean, it's warmed up, but it's pretty darn good.
Well, you know, Rich, I'm adoptable still. I've told you that before, okay? Like, if beans will share a bowl with me, I'll be there, okay?
That's fantastic. So, Timmy, if let's go back to your team. So, yeah, this, I mean, unless the wheels completely come off, even if they do, I would think you're probably going to win this league. So, what have you learned? And it's a very competitive league. It's the time I think you're playing in labor and you're going to come away with a victory. I mean, if you can think of two or three things that, because you're always learning in every time that you play this game. I mean, what are some things that either you're reminded of or just that you learned anew that was an aha moment for you as you're going through this league? And can it be anything, Timmy? And just maybe you could share some things. I know I didn't have you prep for that, so I've been talking a lot as I'm asking this question to let the old noggin work for a few seconds.
A few seconds I can do, Rich. Anything more than that, we might be pushing it.
Okay.
I think the one thing that I have definitely learned this year is that you can never have enough starting pitching, ever, in any format. It doesn't matter what the format is. You can never have enough starting pitching. Find some guys that you like next spring when you're drafting. Take a couple players that you really like, that you believe in, and draft them at the draft. Because based on what we've seen this year and what we've seen in the past, you simply can't have enough starting pitching. You really can't.
Yeah, I agree with it. You know, we'll talk in the off season about Dynasty League because I'm not sure what you do there, given that you have to draft pitching for Dynasty League, but you know that I don't know what percentage of guys that you're going to draft, young kids coming through the minor leagues that are all going to have Tommy John surgery at some point before they hit the major leagues. And I totally agree with you, but it's weird that you play in these keeper and these long-term Dynasty leagues. I mean, it makes the calculus really, really complicated.
Well, yeah, it certainly does. It's, you know, the other thing is, hey, we've talked about it ad nauseum over the years, Rich. When it comes to looking at closers, you know, and I hear all the time, you know, the turnover is so great, yada yada yada. But you know what? I strongly believe you got to have an anchor. You got to have a closer that you believe at least one that's going to be that anchor. You can add from there. I had in labor, I had Rodon this year for a while. I also had, I can't remember who else I had. I had another closer for a while that eventually lost his job. But having an anchor like Diaz this year allowed me the opportunity to go after secondary closers and add and augment without the fear of not having anybody. I'm a strong believer in getting that strong closer, whether it's a Kimbrel, whether it's Diaz, Jansen, if he's healthy. Getting one of those big guys makes an incredible difference. It takes a lot of the pressure off and makes it easier for you to maneuver around that category.
So let me ask you a question. So I think that I those leagues that I played in, the redraft leagues where I do draft a closer earlier, I can tell you they're less stressful leagues, right? Sometimes you win and sometimes it works out. But at least you know you've got some saves there, and it's tough when you wait that extra round and you miss the closer run. And then you can say, well, gee, I'll weave why other people are bobbing and so forth. I get that. But I think you're onto something. I know, for one, it's less stressful. But my question for you, and if I take a look at your team construction, clearly you picked Mike Trout number one. Let's say you got the number one pick again next year. I'm going to pick Mike Trout number one. When are you going to draft a pitcher? You said you need lots of pitchers. Do you need high end starting pitchers? Do you kind of wait to the middle rounds and then load up on pitching? I mean, did you learn anything from labor on that?
Well, yeah, I drafted lots, and it's a good thing because I spent a good chunk of the year without the core group of my pitchers. When I look at next year, I like Corey Kluber a lot. I think he's got another year or two left in the tank. There's nothing wrong with a Max Scherzer. Now, I won't draft a pitcher in the first round because I obviously want power and speed. But Kluber, Trevor Bauer, I'll be all over him next year if I can get him in the right spot. We're doing Jason Mason is doing an early series of mock drafts. I took Walker Buehler in the fifth round, Rich.
Oh, you did a draft. It's funny because I looked at last year's notes on this particular week just to see what we talked about, and we did talk about a mock draft you did last year. So did you do one this past week?
Yeah, it's a slow mock. We're in about round 11 right now.
Okay.
And
can you tell us tell us what you did? Do you have that?
Yeah, I know. I'll do it by memory because if I try and pull it up on my phone, I know I'll lose this conversation because I'm a technical whiz, Rich. You know that.
It's true. Yeah, but Timmy, you're also going on memory, so we got a lose-lose situation.
Yeah, lose situation going on here. The memory's good. It's the recall that sucks, Rich.
Exactly.
I'm about to prove it. I was in the number two spot, so I took Betts.
Mike Trout went, and then Betts number two. Okay, I mean that's nothing wrong with that. Do you remember where Jose Ramirez went?
No, but you know what? I'm going to try something in here. You still there?
Yes, I am, Timmy. Please don't do something. I beg of you.
Hot damn! I got the technology, Rich. I got it right in front of me. I got the draft grid, so I can tell you everything I did and everything. Hey, fire away with a million questions. I got the answers.
Let's do the first round. Just kind of give me the first five players, and then we'll pause. And then 15-team league,
okay.
I'm assuming.
No, just 12.
Okay, let's do the first six, and then we'll do the second six. Give me the first round.
Okay, we get Trout, Betts, Jose Ramirez, Nolan Arenado.
Oh.
Jose Altuve, Francisco Lindor. There's your first six.
So tell me, I mean, you're not a big, Jose Altuve fan anymore. Timmy, you left me as my wingman, and you're away from the Jose.
Yeah.
So you don't think that's a good pick?
I wouldn't take him at number six, but obviously somebody felt different. Go figure. I just don't think the stolen bases will be there moving forward, Rich. And I would probably take Lindor or someone that hasn't been mentioned yet, namely Trey Turner. I'd probably take them ahead of Altuve.
Yeah, I mean, again, last year's 20-some-odd home run, I mean, that could have been his outlier, right? I mean, he's still probably a 15-home run guy, and if it's going to be 20 to 25 stolen bases, 340 hit. I don't know if that's a sixth pick. I still think he's a first-round draft pick because you get the batting average, and in a batting average league, that's a good thing. I mean, that's a category.
Well, yeah, I agree. You know, in 30-team leagues, he's got to be a first-rounder, right? Guaranteed.
Oh, man. I apologize to the great one, Jose Altuve. He'll be in the Hall of Fame, Timmy, and he will not mention you in his Hall of Fame speech. I'm just going to go on record and say that's not going to happen. I still have a chance to be mentioned.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say, you got no side chance. I have no chance. You're right. Yeah.
You have no chance. Okay, so give us the second half of the first round, Tim.
Yeah, some surprises in here. Christian Yelich at seven.
Really?
Yes, we have a believer. J.D. Martinez at eight. Max Scherzer at nine. Hmm. Alex Bregman at 10. Machado at 11. And Bryce Harper at 12.
No, Andrew Benintendi after his kind of tail off in the second half of the year, Timmy. Is that something to be concerned with Andrew Benintendi, or just injuries, or just ran out of gas? I mean, what's your thinking?
Well, there was he complained about having sore legs after the All-Star break, a series of games in Toronto. And he sat a game, and basically after that series in Toronto, I think he's stolen one base. I think he's been masking an injury somewhere along the line. So I'm prepared to give Mr. Benintendi a mulligan for his second half. I think he's been hurt, and we haven't heard about it.
I hope you're right, Timmy. I don't know. I mean, it's been a little ugly. I wouldn't be surprised. We're talking about the last week of the season. I would not be surprised if he doesn't play very much. I mean, just to try mm-hmm. I know they want to try to get him going, but maybe they need to rest him a little bit and try to get him healthy.
Yeah, I agree. And this he went with pick 24 in this one, Rich.
Christian Yelich, Timmy. 320 yep. batting average, 388 on-base percentage, 31 home runs, and 20 stolen bases. That's a first-round pick.
Oh, yes, it is. And it's also those numbers also warrant some MVP discussion, and they probably won't get as much as they should. But he's put up some amazing numbers this year. I have no problems with Christian Yelich as a first-round pick looking back. The one thing that did sort of surprise me is Trey Turner slid to the middle of the second round.
And so let's let's do the second round, too. That would be interesting. Let's do 13 through the next six here. Let's talk about that.
Okay, well, we got Goldschmidt at 13.
Mm-hmm.
Then we got Mr. Acuña at 14.
Wow.
Trevor Story.
Wow, let's pause for a minute. Wow, Timmy.
Yes.
Trevor Story, who might be out with Tommy John surgery. Wow, that's interesting, too. Trevor Story before Trey Turner. Wow.
Blasphemy, to say. Blasphemy. Right?
I don't know, man. I don't know about that. Keep going.
Yeah, and then Aaron Judge, Javier Baez, Trey Turner. Followed by Stanton, Kershaw, Blackman, Gary Sanchez, Corey Kluber, and Benintendi.
Wow. So, wait a minute. So you took Corey Kluber then?
Yeah. I've got Kluber. I took Chris Bryant with my third pick.
Well, that's pretty remarkable. Dropping to the third round. Gee, how the mighty have fallen. Wow. Timmy, I'm shocked at that second round a little bit. I'm shocked at Trey Turner dropping so far. I don't understand that. Ronald Acuña, Timmy, I mean, he's a first round draft pick in a 15 team league. That's impressive after a rookie season. I guess it's warranted.
Well, when you look at the numbers he's put up, the power and the speed at the top of the lineup, how do you avoid taking a guy like that, you know, at the wheel, you know, power, speed, and we haven't seen a full season from him yet either, have we?
No, it's, I mean, that's, it's just remarkable. It's really remarkable. Aaron Judge in the second round, that early in the second round, and Kershaw, still the love for Kershaw. Is that going off of reputation, Timmy, or is it just, I guess, that guy believing that Kershaw has still got 30 starts in him?
Yep. I think it's a combination of still believing in the skills, which I think are there, and somebody believing that the health is going to, you know, the health is going to be a decent enough, so you're going to get 20 to 25 starts out of them, which is entirely possible. Some of the interesting picks, though, that you'll really like, Rich.
Hold on, before you do that, I have to ask you a question. Before you do that, so Benintendi was still on the board. Were you afraid of Benintendi just because of that second half, or did you just want to make sure you got Kluber? I mean, what was the two out of those two?
I had Kluber queued up, and I was hemming and hawing, and I went on auto, and it took Kluber, and it made my decision real easy, Rich.
Okay. All right. But you weren't afraid of the second half with Benintendi?
No, I'm not afraid of the second half. I think there's a lingering injury he's been dealing with, and I think that's affected his performance. I will still take him in the second round in a 15-team draft. No hesitation there.
None. I agree. So I have one more question for you, then you can tell me some of the surprises. Okay. Where did Vlad Jr. go, or has he been selected yet?
Oh, yes. That was one of the picks I was going to mention to you. He went with the 11th pick in the third round.
Wow. That's amazing. So that's in a 15-team league. That, if that thing holds true, that's an early third-round pick. Yeah.
Yes,
that's what we
is.
Thought.
Yes.
That's what we thought a couple of months ago. That's what it's going to take. So.
Yeah. You know, if you look at you know, one of the players, obviously, I had targeted was Aldoberto Mondesi, right? How can you not look at a player? You know, he hit another home run today. I think he's up to double-digit home runs, and he's, what, 26, 27 stolen bases in half a year? Recency bias definitely applied in this mock. He went in the fourth round, Rich.
Yeah, that's definitely – you think that's going to last?
Well, you know what? If he ends up his first half season with, say, you know, even stop it where it's at right now, he's got, what, 10 homers, I think, 11 homers, and he's got, what, 26 stolen bases? That's some pretty serious production.
He's also got a strikeout rate of 26% and a walk rate of 3% and a BABBITT of 351. So that sounds like a disaster in the fourth round to me, Tom.
It wouldn't be my pick. Juan Soto went earlier than Vladdy. He went, Soto came off the board, sixth pick of the third round.
Yeah, I mean, I get that, Timmy. I mean, he's proven it in the major leagues. I mean, there is, I mean, as good as I think Vladdy's going to be, I mean, if Soto still has a chance to be the problem.
Yeah, no, Gleyber Torres went one round before Miguel Andujar.
I can understand that. Okay, yeah. I think Andujar wins the Rookie of the Year. So tell us the rest of your team, Timmy, and see how you constructed it.
Well, so far I've got Betts, Kluber, Chris Bryant. Round four, I took Cody Bellinger. Round five, Walker Buehler. It's a one-catcher league. I wanted a good one, so in round six, I took Real Muto. In round seven, I took Victor Robles.
Excuse me? Wait a minute. Excuse me?
I left the song there for a reason. It's okay.
Wow, Tim. Wow.
Well, you know what? When I look at a draft board, okay, and I already see, by the time it gets to the end of round six, I already see Vladdy off the board. So do I get. I see Mondesi. You know, hey, there's some loving for some kids happening here. So I like Robles, and I like him a lot. And I think he's got a full-time job, and I think we're going to see power, and I think we're going to see speed. So I think Robles could be my first half Aussie Albies for next year, Rich. Is that unreasonable?
I have a huge man crush on Victor Robles. There's no question about it.
Yeah.
But sixth round, Timmy, that's really a fifth round pick in a 15-team league. I don't know, man. That's some serious helium going on there.
Oh, yeah, that was round seven. Then I took Craig Kimbrell in eight. Nomar Mazzaro in nine.
Oh, there you are with Nomar Mazzaro. Nomar Mazzaro. Tim will not give it up with Nomar Mazzaro. How did he play? I didn't even follow him.
Well, he missed. He's had a bad thumb most of the second half. And he's the other side of 20 homers now. And I think he's closing in on 70 RBIs with the missed time. I'm okay with that. I think Mazzaro, especially for his age, is going to be just fine.
Okay.
And then round 10, I took Felipe Vasquez. I figured I'm going to grab another closer here before we get into the dregs. And round 11, Rich, I was hemming and hawing, and I believed in this guy, and I cut him loose after the first 2 months, only to be severely disappointed. And I went in the
11th Rosario?
You got her. Bingo.
Yeah. Still a big fan. So tell me who your pitching is. I got the two closers, but Corey Kluber. Do you have any other starting Walker Buehler. Okay, those are your two
Walker
starting
Buehler.
Pitchers. Yeah, in a 12-team league, there's going to be plenty of starting pitcher on the board, I'm assuming.
Well, you'd be surprised. There's a huge chunk of them gone. At the end of five rounds, 2, 4, 5, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 18 starting pitchers off the board after five rounds. 18 of the first 60 picks were starting pitchers, Rich.
Yeah, wow. Well, that's a lot of fun. So, Timmy, is this a publication this is going to be in, or is this, you know, so who's going to be writing about it?
Yeah, our good friend, I believe you've been on his podcast before, Friends with Fantasy Benefits, Justin Mason.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, anyhow, what he's done is he's put together a series of, I think he's got about 10 of them going or so, anyways. And what he does is he compiles them all and uses them as early ADPs. So, yeah, it will be published and definitely talked about.
That's great. Yeah, I've not been invited to one, so I didn't impress him when I was a guest on his podcast, Timmy. So that's I'll leave it at that. So.
Well, what he did, Rich, what you're going to have to do is you're going to have to watch Facebook because he posted it on Facebook. And he just said, anybody interested in early mock drafts?
Yeah, okay. Well, I'm glad you were able to participate in that and share that. That's great stuff, Timmy. Victor Robles in the seventh round. Wowie, wowie, wowie. Timmy, we get back. Let's talk about some guys that might be pickups here.
Sounds good, Rich.
Well, the very quick show, Timmy, turned out to be not quick because we found something else to talk about for 20 minutes after we got through with your brother, Terry. So,
well, I saw the notes, Rich, and I said to myself, this is like 5 minutes. We're going to have to improvise here, right? And freewheel a little bit. So,
now, next, we're doing a postseason draft next Monday, correct?
I'm glad you brought it up. Monday's good for you, Rich, because I'll set it up for Monday.
Yeah, Monday is good for me. Yeah, I'm good all next week, all the week out. You know, that whatever that week is. Yep.
Yep. No, I was just waiting to hear back from you. So.
I apologize, Timmy. I saw that note and I guess I forgot to respond to you. My bad. So yeah, I am good. I am good with that. So.
Well, that's good because I've already got seven or eight guys interested, and I'll post it. I'll post it on Facebook, and I don't think we'll have any problems getting another three or four, Rich. So we'll be.
The only complication, Timmy, is I'm at a wedding next weekend, and I'm driving back from Maryland on Sunday, so we can't do the show on Sunday because I'm going to get back. I'm going to be wrecked, so I don't want to do a show on Sunday. So. So we could either do the show on Monday during the day, we could do it Monday evening and do the draft afterwards, or we could do it on, that's the only if Monday works for you to do the show.
Let me just check my busy schedule. Okay, it's not. Whatever works for you, Rich.
Well, I'm wide open that week, so Timmy, that's the only thing. We've got to do a show sometime on Monday. I'd like to do a show just to wrap up the season. And then you could decide if we need to do the draft on Tuesday or just tell me what timing works for you. I'm good with anything.
Okay. Well, what I'll do is I'll set it up for 7 Eastern. Okay. And it takes about 40 minutes to do the draft.
Oh, okay. Great. So then we can do the show at 9 o'clock and we'll talk about it. Perfect.
Yeah. Yeah. We got content.
And you will tell me the rules of this, Timmy, because I've never played in one of these before. So if you can just let me know, like what do you do here?
Well, I can give you a show Monday at 7:10. Does that help? Just kidding. I'm that sort of guy, Rich. I'll go the extra mile for you.
Yeah. I really don't. I mean, do you ever have pickups that you're allowed to do? What if all your guys get knocked out in the first round? I mean, and how does that work?
Well, you only pick 10 players. Okay. It's a 10 round draft. Okay. and you have to have a certain number of pitchers, and it's a points league, and the points are
okay.
So much for a home run, RBI, whatever, and you
got
can
it.
Only have four. You can only have four players from one team. Okay.
Okay.
Once they're removed, there's a waiver wire, and you can pick players up, and it's just running basically a 4-week mini league, points based. And in a nutshell, that's pretty much it. The only other quirk is that because of the size of the player pool, players are allowed to be drafted twice, not on the same team, but they can be drafted twice. And the reason for that is to allow enough competitive players in to actually hold the league.
So wait a minute. So hold on. So you're telling me, let's take my buddy Jose Altuve. I pick Jose Altuve
right.
in the first round. Somebody else can pick
yes.
Jose Altuve in the first round as well?
Yes, they can.
That's – I don't understand that.
The problem is, Rich.
That blows me mind, Timmy. I don't understand. What kind of – what? Really?
Yeah, what happens is when you get into a – playoff-type league, the player pool is so small. If you don't allow for it, it gets really depressing real quick. It really does. By
well,
allowing
many,
players...
How, that's true, I guess, because once you get to the World Series, I mean, there's not a whole lot of guys to pick up.
Well, you know, you can gamble if you want on the play-in games.
Uh-huh.
But my strong suggestion is you better pick the right one because you could be going to the waiver wire right away trying to find replacements. It's very risky drafting players for that play-in game. What you're trying to do is you're trying to find four players on the two teams that go right to the World Series. That's what you're
okay.
trying to do, you know, essentially. And basically, if you guess the right two teams, 8 of your 10 players are going to go right through to the final round.
Yeah, but if they're no good, then you might drop one. Okay, so is
exactly.
it a daily pickup, or what's the deal there?
I can set it up so it's daily at the end of every series. I'll probably go with daily.
All right, whatever, I have no idea. And how are the points calculated?
They're
like a traditional points league?
Yeah, there's points for hits, there's points for strikeouts.
Got it. And that'll be articulated somewhere. There is negative points for giving up runs. And okay, got it. Yeah.
It's a standard basic standard points format.
So, are you opening it up to some of our listeners, or is this just a closed-in for only Tim's friends kind of league?
Well, I would like to think that everybody is my friend, Rich, really. Like, you know.
So how do people get into this league?
About 7 of them already are because I've asked them by invite. The balance of the people that are going to get into this league are going to be the first, I think it's 7. I've got it written down at home. I'm going to say the first 4 people, okay, that leave me an IM through Facebook will be in. How's that?
Yeah, I don't know, Timmy, because that's like somebody who downloads the podcast first and so forth. Don't you want to?
Okay.
Do you want to do it? It's up to you because it's your league, man. Whatever. If you think that's the best
yeah.
way to do it, or you know, best joke. I don't know. I mean, you can do whatever you want.
You know,
I mean, but you have to do it now. So you got.
Yeah. You know what's sort of interesting is 2 of the people that asked actually listened to the podcast a couple. I think it was 2 weeks back when you mentioned you wanted to do one this year. So they got a hold of me, right? Smart thinking, right? You got room
uh-huh.
for me? And I said, hey, you listen to the podcast. That sounds good enough to me, right?
Now, do I get to vet these guys? Because I want people that are lousy players. I'm going to be right off the bat. So no Alan Servinus and Joe Lano,
you know,
none of these characters that are really good players.
Rich, you know, compared to your skill, Rich, come on.
Like, okay, everybody pales
in
comparison.
You should have no fear, okay? We're talking about the great Rich Wilson here. Like, come on, Rich.
All right. So we'll put some winners in there. All right, so by the end of the show, Tim, I'll give you the whole show to think about it. How can these at-large bids get into this great league that's four weeks? There's no money in it. It's all for bragging rights. And how people get into it. So you've got the next half an hour to figure that out, and we'll do it at the end of the show.
Sounds good, Rich. I'll be back to you in half an hour. No, just kidding.
Okay, let's talk about some of these hot players, Timmy. So the first one is actually on your labor league, and that's why I didn't bring him up because I wanted to hold it back for this, and that's Cedric Mullins, who is a Baltimore guy. He's not that good, but he's been very good, a home run, two stolen bases, and almost hitting .500 over the last week. He's made a difference in your team, Tim, and again, this is not long term. This is next week, and it can't be. Well, if he can help you, pick him up. But let's say he can only pick up one or two of these guys. Is Cedric Mullins a guy I should be picking up?
Yeah, I think he is, and I think the biggest reason, other than the fact that he's producing, is he plays in Baltimore. He's the leadoff bat. He's going to play all next week. Who's going to take at bats away from Cedric Mullins? Nobody.
Yeah.
Take the at bats.
Perhaps.
That's the key to next week in so many cases, Rich, is look at the teams, okay, and find players that are you believe should play next week. There's a couple that didn't make your list. Roman Quinn is another player you should have rostered next week. Jeff McNeil for the Mets. All players that you know are going to play, and that's the key, is trying to be able to, for 1 week, fill out an active roster, because some of your big names, they ain't gonna be playing much.
Yeah, I mean, Roman Quinn, we talk about him all the time. He should be on the top of everybody's waiver wire list. Because, correct, Timmy, I mean, there is a chance for five stolen bases in any given week.
Rich, I have moved him, ahead of Brandon Belt on my Hall of Fame vote. That's where I stand on Roman Quinn.
Poor Brandon Belt. It's just the guy can't stay healthy. It's just I feel bad. It's just sad. But Cedric Mullins, Timmy, what about the one guy who might give him a run for his playing time is DJ Stewart. I'm assuming they'll play. Adam, the center
Jones.
Fielder. So I mean Jones, Adam Jones. Thank you.
Yeah.
So. But is DJ Stewart going to get some playing time? Two home runs, one stolen base, a .308 batting average this past week. He's got a little bit of skill, too.
Yeah, and I think the guy who probably won't get as much playing time is Trey Mancini.
I would agree with that, Timmy, and they know what he can do. Let's see what these other guys can do. So I'm with you. I'm both on Cedric Mullins and DJ Stewart. A guy that I included on here is Brock Holt, for the reason that you talked about, Timmy. It's because I think he gets a chance to play most of the week. He plays everywhere. He's got a home run, two stolen bases, almost hitting two home runs and a .471 batting average. I think that'd be an interesting guy to pick up. He's only on 3% of the leagues.
Well, yeah, and you know Brock Holt. I'll bet money that Brock Holt gets at least next week. If they're playing six games, I'll say he gets at least 16 at-bats next week.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, he's playing well. That's the same reason that I'm going to start Devers in labor, because I know Devers is going to play next week. He's coming off some injuries. He's hit a couple home runs recently. Boston's going to play him next week. He'll get at-bats.
But he's still the starting third baseman, right? As they enter the postseason, he's going to be starting at third base. Because I was going to pick him up in the third round in our post season league.
Okay, I'm doing my role plays pick, will you? Okay, no.
I can't pick up Devers twice, but somebody else can pick. Let me make sure I got this one right. I can't pick up Devers one. So is it like Shohei Ohtani, one's a pitcher and one's a batter? Is that how it works, or are they both third basemen in this case?
They're both third basemen, but it doesn't matter that they play third base because you don't have to draft by position.
Okay, just 10 guys. All right, so it's all right, Craig.
Yeah.
Where are we, Timmy? I'm completely confused here. Oh, so Brock Holt. Yeah, but isn't Devers, he's your starting third baseman come the postseason, correct?
Isn't Eduardo Nunez?
Is Nunez going to be? I guess he's been starting at third base. I don't know. What if Devers is hot this week?
If Devers is hot this week, he might earn them. But I think if you looked at it right now today, Kinsler's a second. Nunez, I think, unless Devers really explodes this week, I would say Nunez is a favorite for more at-bats than Devers right now.
Yeah, I mean, I looked at it, and Devers has gotten a start third base the last three games, so that's what I was asking.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe the hot hand will win it out, but I was sort of under the impression that Nunez was a favorite right now. Could be wrong.
Well, I might drop Devers down to the fourth round for me, so anyway.
I'll have to play by then, so there.
Here's a guy, and he's just the guy that's on the most leagues that I've got him down. That's Randal Grichuk over the last week, three home runs, Timmy. It is Randal Grichuk, but I think it's a guy who's complained about getting playing time. Maybe they want to see once and for all if he can do anything, and let's give him some playing time here at the end of the year.
Well, everything's pretty well open in Toronto for next year. So why not give him the at-bat and see what he can do, and he's responding. Hey, we all knew that Grichuk could hit home runs. The problem is, can he support a batting average north of 210, 220? And I think he's going to get an opportunity in the last week to get some at-bats in.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, you don't really care about the batting average in the last week. You just care about production, right, and getting at-bats.
Yep.
I mean, that's what we care about the most is getting those at-bats. Peter O'Brien, Tim, he's been kicking around forever, started off a catcher in it was with the Yankees for a while, with Diamondbacks for a while. Believe it or not, he's with the Miami Marlins, which means he's probably going to get playing time. He's now at first base, two home runs, getting some at-bats, .375, only owned in 2% of leagues. What about Peter O'Brien?
Yeah, I think he's going to get the at-bats. Have you seen what Brian Anderson has done in the past month, Rich? Have you followed
that
at all?
I have not, but I see that he's on your bench in labor, so I'm assuming it's not been good.
Swing, miss, swing, miss, swing, miss. Walk back to Diego. I think he's running a 40% plus strikeout rate the past month. They've actually been sitting him in Miami, so definitely a little concerning. He had a nice sort of solid year up until the past month, but Anderson has really got into the tank and August, September. So, I like getting back to O'Brien. Yeah, I think he's going to play. He's going to get you some at-bats, and that's what we're looking for.
Yeah, Timmy, I will be honest with you. All I've been doing is writing prospect capsules over the last 2 to 3 weeks. So I have not been following Major League Baseball as well as I should. 16 games, 53 at-bats, 25 strikeouts for young Mr. Anderson.
Staggering, isn't it, Rich?
It's not good, particularly when he had 95 at-bats in August. He only had 19 strikeouts. So 97 at-bats in July, 14 strikeouts. So I'm guessing he's worn out.
Yeah, that would be my guess as well, because I don't think he's a 40-50% strikeout guy moving forward.
Yeah.
But he's lost some at-bats, so that's why he's on my bench. Well, that and the fact that he's hitting nothing but air.
Another guy, Timmy, that I know has been a big pickup here in a lot of leagues recently has been Rowdy Tellez. He's been sitting in the Toronto organization for a while. I always liked him. I always thought he could hit a little bit. Definitely got power. Got a great name. He's hit a home run in the last week, .353 batting average. I don't know how much playing time he's going to get, but what's your thoughts on Rowdy Tellez?
I think for the balance of this year, I think he's a great pickup. He's hot. He's driving the ball all over the park, some home runs, RBI. The Jays know what they have in Kendrys Morales. So I think they're going to give Tellez plenty of at-bats. Now, next year, that's a different story. The Jays have a bit of a problem because they got smoke on a relatively cheap. I think it's $6 million option. Okay. So they'll exercise that, guaranteed. And Morales is on the last year of his $39 million deal, whatever. He's locked up for $12 million. Problem with Tellez isn't this week. I love him for this week. The problem is next year, and until the Jays do something about Smoke or Morales, there's no place for Tellez in the lineup to start 2019.
I agree with you there, and so let's talk about Justin Smoke for a moment, because you know we haven't talked about him much at all this year. And guy hit 38 home runs last year, back down to 25 home runs. It feels like 2017 is that outlier year. I mean, 18, 14, then now back to 25. You know, his batting average is at 244, down from 270. Strikeout rates are back up to 26%. I mean, not at that 30% level that he was a few years ago. But, I mean, how good is Justin Smoke?
I think part of the problem this year is the product ahead of him in the lineup. The Jays haven't been very good. The top of the order hasn't been very good. And I think that's reflected on everybody below them in the lineup. I think Smoke is still a 25 to 30 home run. In Toronto, I'll say 75 to 90 RBIs and a 260 batting average. That's who I think Justin Smoke is. And for a $6 million option.
Corner infielder. That's a corner infielder then in fantasy, right?
Yeah, pretty much. But I think he's a decent bat.
Okay, well, there you go. I was actually just looking up Dalton Pompey to find out what's happened to him. I mean, he hasn't played since, he played at the end of the year, but he didn't get a call-up. So it's just interesting. He's just fallen such a hard time. I think I sent you that interview that he did. Just brutal. So.
Yeah, no, I remember watching him in the AFL, and he looked like he was ready. He looked like the real deal. He was driving the ball into the gaps. The speed was there, confidence. You know, the Jays brought him up to start the next season. He struggled badly, and ever since then, between injuries and whatever, he's just buried in the depths of that organization, never to resurface, apparently, or seemingly, anyways.
Wilmer Defoe, Timmy, second baseman in Washington, only owned in 6% of leagues. He ain't hitting a lick, but he's stolen 3 bases, so I'd probably rather have Roman Quinn, but, I mean, Wilmer Defoe, a guy, if you need stolen bases, maybe is somebody that you can look to.
Yeah, definitely, if you're looking for cheap speed. And let's face it, Washington's out of the race right now, so why wouldn't they give him some at-bats?
Yeah, they should have moved Bryce Harper. I get why they didn't, but they really should have moved him, Tim.
Well, hey, you know what? What are they going to get now? A sup pick?
They're gonna get a supplemental pick. And they could have got more at the trading deadline. I mean, my gosh. I mean, a lot more at the trading deadline. So.
Well, Washington was still winning it at the trading deadline, weren't they?
No, they weren't. I mean, there was that big controversy that, they said, well, are we in it? Yeah, we think we're in it. And they said, we're going to see how this weekend went. Remember, they lost. They were playing Miami the weekend before the trading deadline, and they came out and said, if we don't win 3 out of 4, then we're going to move. And they won. They split. It was 2-2,
right.
And they said, yeah, okay, but we're going to hold tight. And then they moved Daniel Murphy and some other guys, in August.
Right.
And they didn't get a whole lot for it, but they kept Bryce Harper because we want to try to re-sign him in the offseason. Look, I can assure you, Timmy, if Washington has the most, they offer him the most money, whether he's playing for Washington or not, that's where he's signing. Right? That's just what's going to happen. It's not going to be, oh, my family's going to be happier in Washington, D.C., or in New York, or in Los Angeles. It's not about that. It's about the Benjamins, Tim.
Well, yeah, and you know what? Will Washington come up with that sort of money? Should they come up with that sort of money?
I think that's the better question. Should they come up with that kind of money? Should they come up? When they got Victor Robles and they've got Juan Soto, your guy, Victor Robles, they got Juan Soto, they got a good pitching staff. To me, it's like, let's do a small reboot on this and see what we got.
Well, yeah, because they're in a situation where the reboot they can do right now is very, very short term. They can, you know, they can pick up a pitcher. Maybe Fetty will step up, but you know, they can retool on the fly, add a few parts, go with some kids, and they can be a pretty good team next year. It wouldn't surprise me if they were a contending team next year if they retool in the right direction.
Yeah, Robles will not have the level of production that that Bryce Harper did. Soto is probably going to be 70% of that, maybe something like that, maybe 80%. But Bryce Harper is going to cost you $35 million a year. I mean, look at all the players that you can sign for $35 million a year. I don't see makes no logical sense at all.
No, bring in, you know, spend some money on Pat Corbin or chase after Kikuchi if he becomes available out of Japan. You know, pick yourself up another solid starting pitcher. The bullpen's okay. Rendon, you know, Washington doesn't have a bad team. They got some holes to fill, and you're right, with $35 million, you can fill a lot of holes.
Yeah, they got some holes to fill. I think they've got a bad clubhouse that they've got to figure out. They could use, you know, look, I love Sean Doolittle, but they could use somebody that's going to be healthy, and they could use a stud back there. And they could use a first baseman. I mean, and I think $35 million is going to go a long way to filling some of those needs up.
Well, yeah, trade for Justin Smoke.
How about Daniel Palka, Timmy? Had a really nice season this year, only 16% owned, 5 home runs in the past week. He's got 24 home runs for the season.
Yeah, that's amazing. And again, he's going to play next week. Every single day, they're going to wheel him out there, and he might hit another 4 or 5 home runs next week. He's on a tear right now. What's he owned, less than 10%, Rich?
16%.
84% of the leagues that are playing for something, they best ought to get on that because there's an opportunity there.
Totally agree. Final guy is Dan Vogelbach. It seems like we mention his name once or twice a year in passing. He's playing with Seattle, playing first base. He hit 2 home runs last week. To me, I always thought that Dan Vogelbach could hit, and I think he's got some power. I've seen him a ton in the minor leagues. He just has not put it together. I think there's something there. I mean, for a week, I think if you're looking for some power, why not?
Well, yeah, and you know what? If it doesn't work out, the Cleveland Browns can pick him up for the balance of the football season, right?
Hey, the Cleveland Browns won a game, Timmy. So they beat the mighty Jets.
I have no comment. No comment at all on that one, Rich.
Yeah, it was. I'm not playing in any fantasy football. That's why I'm going to partake in this post. This World Series league, I don't know, postseason league, whatever you call it. And but
right.
It's funny. I was curious, so I did watch part of that Thursday night game because I wanted to see if the Cleveland Browns would actually win a game, and they did. And I was actually happy for them. I thought that was fantastic.
Well, yeah, they shut the city down for 3 days for the parade and the whole 9 yards, right?
And I know they had. I think it was Budweiser had. They had like refrigerators in specific bars around the city. All right. It could have been around the state, but I'm assuming it's around the city. I don't know if you heard this, and they had them padlocked that they would not open them until they won a game. So apparently they won the game and they opened it up on, I don't know if it was after Thursday evening after the game or Friday. I'm not sure when they did it, but they were open.
But yeah, it's very, very nice of Budweiser. Okay. To really reward the people of Cleveland by locking up their beer. I think they did them a favor, Rich. I really do. Have you drank Bud? Oh, dear Lord.
Oh. So, Timmy, when we get back, we're going to talk and get your opinion about the next big business coming out of Canada, and that happens to be cannabis, Timmy. All the big cannabis providers are Canadians.
I know. Evil Canadians.
So Tim, just real quickly, I think it's fairly interesting, you being Canadian, the middle of October, I think it's October 20th or something, marijuana, cannabis becomes legal. It gets officially legalized in Canada, and many of the large firms that have hit, you know, the stock
yes.
market and so forth are all Canadian firms. And they've mm-hmm. gone up, I think, for the year, at least from a financial standpoint, like 11,000%. I mean, it's insane. I mean, they're just – and people in America and people in Canada believe that – that event, it has been decriminalized in the United States at the state level. It's not been at the federal level, which is interesting.
No.
I was actually talking to my son about this. I'm like, well, what is it? People, what does it mean it's not decriminalized at the federal level? The FBI is not going to spend resources to come and arrest a frat party who's smoking doobies, because that's not it. They will come after
no.
you when you're doing bank transactions, because his contention
yep.
was they'll follow the money in any multi-state kind of organization that they're doing, you know, going from state to state becomes a federal issue. And that's where the FBI will, the federal jurisdictions in the United States where it's not been legalized, will come into effect. And if anybody have ever wondered that, that was from my son, who's way smarter than me, is his position. But Timmy, in
yeah.
Canada, marijuana will be legal here within the month. And you guys are going to be supplying the North America with weed. How do you feel about this?
Hey, you got some Oreos, Rich? I need some Oreos. Oreos. I need shares and Oreos. Quick.
It was funny. My son is visiting this weekend, and we've had a great time. And they went. My wife and my son, they went to a farmer's market right down the
yeah.
street. And you know, Beans, crazy Beans, the dog. They come back
yeah.
with some kind of CPD oil, which apparently is a cannabis-based oil that doesn't get you high. It's just supposed to calm you down. And they got them like treats.
Okay.
And, you know, to see if we could calm the stupid dog down, right? So I guess we're giving our dog weed. I don't know. So he eats stuff, and there was no change to me. He was not
no.
calm at all.
He needs some ADD or some really strong meds, Rich.
He
probably.
Needs Ritalin, I think. I think he needs the heavy-duty stuff.
Go.
But exactly. But anyway, so that's your marijuana lesson for everybody. I don't smoke weed, so just on the thing.
Yeah.
Tim doesn't smoke weed, but it is a fascinating yeah. thing that is happening in North America right now, and it's you know, it's something I think that it's interesting to talk about, if nothing else.
Well, I tell you, Rich, it is a real problem for Canadians, because just because it is legal in our country, with restraints, you can only have so many plants, you can only have so much. It's there are rules. You know, it's not like everybody's making a garden in their backyard. There are a lot of rules, but at the same point in time, I think what they've realized is that busting somebody for two joints of pot is not the answer. All it does is tie up time in the court system. And taking organized crime out of the equation is probably a good thing. It really is. But the problem as a Canadian is when we go across the border into the United States, one of the questions that's being asked on a regular basis, have you ever or do you smoke marijuana? If you answer yes to that question, you will not get, you will not go any further. You will turn around.
Really?
And you'll go back. Oh, yes. Yes.
Wow.
Yep, it is against the law in the United States of America. Jeff Sessions will vouch for that, Rich.
Yeah.
It's allowed in several states, but on a federal level,
that's
it's
correct.
Against the law. So as Canadians, when we're asked that question at the border, no, sir, no, sir, three bags full, sir, no.
Yeah.
Or else they're
Look,
turning
I mean,
people back there. They've turned their... They have got one of the largest Canadian investors on a restricted list for travel in the U.S.
Wow.
Simply because it's involved in the industry. And you know what?
Yeah.
As an American, if you purchase shares in that industry, you might want to talk to your lawyer if you travel internationally just to find out what the implications are, because there might be some.
Well, I know there's a lot of American companies, Constellation Brands, Timmy, who owns a number of the liqueurs and, you know, the whiskeys and so forth. They've made
right.
an investment in one of the Canadian cannabis companies. Coca-Cola Corporation apparently is either considering has already done that. So there's a lot of
yep.
people, you know, these big, large American companies that are trying to figure this stuff out and don't want to be left out in the cold if cannabis becomes the next alcohol, you know, and, you know, becomes a,
well, sure.
you know, a multi bazillion enterprise, and you know, then you've got the moral issues and you know, all that kind of stuff. And you know,
yeah.
I don't know anything. I just think the whole thing is fascinating. And to find out, when I find out this week, as I studied it a little bit, it's all coming from Canada. I'm like, wow, that's pretty interesting. Let me ask Tim about that.
Yeah. Well, all I know is you're right. The shares, they're going up in smoke.
That's true. That's very funny. There's something called Telfry, I think, or Tel. They're the ones that went up 700%. Their stock went up 700% this week. It is remarkable.
Yeah.
All based on cannabis. Apparently, there's some cannabis that, from my understanding, is some get you high, and then some is actually really medicinal, right? So there is no hallucinogenic or whatever. I don't know if that's the right word, but any kind of drug thing on that. But it's fascinating. I'm sure we've lost all of the all of our conservative listeners by this point. But I thought it was fascinating.
This show
to talk
is
about.
Not going to be a hit, okay? Don't put the Mason-Dixon line. That'd be my guess, Rich. Just on that.
I live a little south of the Mason-Dixon line, but that we're not promoting the use of cannabis.
No.
I want to make sure everybody realizes it's just an educational thing. I think people need to be aware of it because I think it's a fascinating thing that's happening right before our eyes. And it's, you know, something when I was in high school, you know, it was like, you know, you don't even talk about it. Now it's definitely much more accepting. And now there's big corporations that are starting to profit off of that. And I think it's interesting that people have an opinion. I'm not even sure I have an opinion yet. I'm just trying to understand what's going on. But when I found out it was Canadian, so I had to ask you.
Well, you know, we are a very progressive nation. I'll leave it at that. And let's face it, Rich, with 9 months of winter, okay, come on. That's a long time to be cooped up indoors watching reruns of Dancing with the Stars or whatever, right?
That's for sure, Timmy. That's for sure. So, oh my goodness. Okay, so send in your emails and tell us what you think about that discussion. So, Timmy, let's talk about two-star pitchers and then get out of here. So, I've got
Sounds
some doozies
good.
In here. Sandy Alcantara with your Miami Marlins. At Steven Strasburg and at the Mets against Noah Syndergaard. I mean, look, Sandy Alcantara came up through the St. Louis organization, was traded for Osuna, I'm assuming. It's pitched okay since getting the call. What are your thoughts there?
I'm going to pass on Alcantara unless I'm in desperate need of strikeouts and I'm not concerned about ERA and WHIP. He's going up against some offenses that can post some numbers, and I'm just not all that. I think there could be some damage to the ERA and WHIP, but hey, if you need strikeouts, I think he'll get you some.
Yeah, I think you say that in Washington. I'm not sure about the Mets. The Mets aren't, unless something's changed the last 2 weeks since they've been buried writing minor league prospect stuff.
Jeff McNeil.
Okay.
That's all I have.
James Shields, Timmy, and Trevor Bauer is coming back. How many innings he's going to pitch? But James Shields goes up against Trevor Bauer, and then at Minnesota to be announced. James Shields has not been, it's not been good, but he's not been horrible.
No, he's somebody that I would consider this week. Hey, Cleveland's clinched. We don't know how long Bauer is going to go for. And you look at Minnesota, and that's a definite go. So, I'd wheel Shields out this week if I was looking for a win and decent peripherals.
All right, these three, Timmy, we're going to put them together as one. Get Dylan Covey at home against Corey Kluber and at Minnesota to be announced. You get Adrian Sampson with the Texas Rangers at Los Angeles and your buddy Felix Pena at Seattle to be announced. And then Brian Mitchell with the San Diego Padres at Derek Holland and home against Robbie Ray. Those guys, they're pretty much 1% owned in CBS leagues. Which one of those three, if you had to start one of them, which one would it be?
Okay. Seattle to be announced. Oh, sorry.
wrong answer. Wrong question.
I gave it a shot. I would put three names. I wouldn't go up against the Arizona thing. I can't remember. Covey's going to get blown out. Who's the third one, Rich?
Adrian Sampson.
Mitchell?
Mitchell. So I'm sorry, Dylan Covey with the White Sox, Adrian Sampson with the Texas Rangers, and Brian Mitchell with the San Diego Padres.
You know what? I'll go with Brian Mitchell of those three. again, I'd be very inclined to look at the Seattle, in all honesty, see who Seattle's starting. None of those three are overwhelming at all.
Okay. And that's what you get at the last week of the season, and it's, it could be interesting. A lot of times that last game of the year, a very low-scoring game because people have got their bags back. So sometimes if you need a win, start the guy on Sunday, going into the very last game of the year. And if the game means nothing, you might have a chance.
Yeah, you know who I would start next week that's not on your list? Keller in Kansas City, I'd fire him out there. And I'd also fire Yarbrough out there for Tampa Bay because he's probably going to be in another situation where somebody will open for him. He'll pitch 4 or 5 innings of decent ball and probably win his, 16th game?
Yeah, and you're hoping that because I saw him on your labor team.
Yeah, you got me a win this week. Happiness is. Love it.
Happiness is. Timmy, fun show. We finished in an hour and 10 minutes. That's not so bad. Fairly short show. I thought it was fun. We diverted and had a marijuana discussion, but a lot of good baseball.
Yes.
Like, I really appreciate you sharing your mock draft with us. I thought that was fascinating. The Victor Robles pick, I'm still scratching my head on it, but I got to tell you, I love it, Timmy, because I'm a huge fan of Victor Robles. So I appreciate everything that you did. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, it was, Rich, considering that the notes had starting pitchers and I think, 10 names on it. We did pretty good at ad-libbing. You know, that's something we should do sometime, Rich, in the off-season, just for something different. Do a show totally, totally off the cuff. No notes, no nothing. Just talk baseball.
Yeah. Okay. You got to have some topics, Tim. I might come
baseball.
Up with 5 or 6 topics if they saw. Okay. We can always hit the delete button, Timmy. We're very good at that as well. That would be maybe one of those shows in October or November when there's not a whole lot happening. Maybe we can do there. So.
Yeah,
Timmy. The problem is the off. When is there an off week? Because. Yeah, it's always fun to talk about the postseason, what's going on there, and then as soon as the end of the season is over, you start talking, ramping up for winter meetings, and then maybe there's late December, nothing happens, and then you've got draft prep, and it's a lot of stuff that goes on in the off season.
Well, yeah, you toss the AFL in there, free agency
That's
occurs
right.
as soon as the season ends, and before you know it, we're back into another season with mock drafting and all of your prospect
That's
lists
right.
will start to, they'll start surfacing very, very soon. And baseball for us, it never ends, does it, Rich? It just, the last day of the season, once it's done, you wake up the next day and it becomes the first day of the next, right?
I totally agree. Lord willing, Timmy, Friday the 5th, the Chicago Cubs top 15 drops on Prospect 361. So, we got 2 weeks, and they start to drop 2 a week. Boom and boom.
Oh, that's awesome, Rick.
15 names.
Ooh, I'm looking forward to it. That extra 5 names, definitely, I think is going to be very popular this year. I know it will be with me. Like you said, when you look at the narrative that you've produced in the past, and people want names, right? And the
That's
more
right.
names you can give them, I think the happier they'll be, right?
Yeah, it's fascinating. Just to give you a sense, Timmy, it's typically each system was about 3,500 words. They're coming more at about 2,500 words with 15 names.
Okay.
So I got 5 more names, and I've just cut down on the – I can't write very well anyway, so who am I trying to impress, right? So let me just spit out names, stats, and scouting information and just cut out all the BS. So that's what I've tried to do. I hope people will appreciate that. It sure has made my life easier, Timmy. I can write faster because I don't have to think of prose, which I'm not very good at anyway. So I'm just getting it's just thank you very much. Here's the information.
Well, yeah, your rating's fine, Rich. It really is. I don't think you give yourself enough credit. It's hard when you're writing that volume of work to, by the time you get halfway through, do you find, I know if I'm writing something in bulk, I find I use the same buzzwords, the same catchphrases, Do you get yourself into that same trap too?
Oh, for sure. Yeah, Timmy. Yeah, and then it's like, and then you try to mix it up because you don't want to repeat yourself, but it's tough. I mean, I write 100,000 words, Timmy, in a period of 4 months. That's a lot of words.
I know. I can only put myself, like, you know, the best thing since sliced bread. You can only use that so many times, eh? Where's
exactly.
Thin after a while.
Exactly. Yeah.
And
by the way,
to let you know, it looks like I'm going to be able to swing that deal. I'm going to drive a long day on a Sunday, so I think I should be able to make that Monday work, Rich, and I'm looking forward to it.
Oh, the Monday in Arizona. That'd be awesome, Tim.
Yes. I'm gearing everything towards arriving in Arizona late on the Sunday night and go from there.
Great. Well, we'll be at there's a game at Glendale and a game at Peoria. I'm assuming we'll do the game at Peoria at 12:05 because otherwise we'll melt in Glendale. But if listeners are there, it'll be the Monday the 29th. Tim and I will both be in Arizona. Then I've got to head off to the airport to get to Los Angeles for a couple of days. And then I'm back in Arizona, but I won't have time to catch up with you, I don't think. But Work think, Timmy, they're doing a little something special for me. And they picked Arizona.
Ooh.
So, yeah.
Nice.
So I think it'd be bad for me to bail on my own party.
that might be rather bold, Rich. Maybe they're giving you one of those Arizona fall teams to run for a couple of years, right?
There you go. That'd be fun. That'd be a lot of fun. Okay, Timmy. So we're at the end of the show. I've given you 20 minutes or so to think of what the criteria is. It can be whatever you want, but they have to, I don't know, how they get in contact with you to get these at-large bids for this league. How can they get into this league?
Contact me through Facebook. Send me an IM. That's I think, the best and fairest way to go, Rich. And make sure you do it tomorrow, because I'll take a look at the names and go from there. How's that sound? Well, I'm sure we'll get some people sending me IMs and we can go from there.
Okay, great. And Tim will figure out, maybe pick random names, put them in on the hat and pick them out. And let's see.
Put
them
in the hat. Here we go. Yeah.
If you're a really, really good player, don't apply. Don't say you're good, because Tim already knows we don't want those people in the league.
I've played these for about 7 years, and I think I've got 4 or 5 titles, Rich. I've done fairly well at it, so I really don't.
Tim bragging
skills.
Already. Tim bragging already. All right, big
I don't
shot.
Need,
we'll see.
I don't need somebody with skill trying to knock me off my perch, okay? That's why I'm selecting them, okay?
You make these cockamamie rules that you can have two of this. You can have Rafael Devers on two teams. I mean, what is this?
Rich, how many years have I been telling you it's all about me, okay?
Oh, my goodness. Very, very good. Timmy, it's always been a blast. Have a good week, and we'll talk to you next Monday, 9 o'clock, everybody. The draft will be, it'll be next Monday at 7 o'clock. Cool.
Yeah. I'm hopping in my car tomorrow, heading across the UP through Duluth. That's sunny Duluth, where the weather's good, Rich. And then back up to Fort Francis for Wednesday. So I'm on the road. If anybody's trying to get a hold of me, it'll be a while before I get back. I'm going to enjoy my trip home.
Okay, well, safe travels, Timmy. We'll talk to you next Sunday, my friend.
Okay, be well, my friend.
Be well.